And now we turn more specifically to how an expanded border wall could affect wildlife. Jan Skipper is the Field Conservation Research Director for the Phoenix Zoo and Arizona Center for Nature Conservation. Among other things, he has studied so-called movement corridors for animals, including jaguars in Costa Rica. Jan, when you hear about a border fence, what are your initial thoughts?
The border fence is one of many types of barriers in the region, so it's not the only barrier that we're talking about. There's highways out there that prevent certain species from passing very, very easily. Route 2 in Mexico is a clear route that we've considered working with the Mexican government to improve means for species to get across there. So we're working in collaboration with some other NGOs. As they widen that highway, we're looking for accommodations for wildlife to be able to cross the highway as well. The border fence is not complete. It's not a complete fence across the entire state. There are notable gaps in the tall fences or the Normandy barriers, which are actually really beneficial for wildlife and are, for the most part, probably why we're seeing jaguar coming in right now, because there are still some gaps in areas that are very rugged, remote. I'm sure people are probably able to get through there as well, but they're remote enough that a border fence might not be the obvious solution. Our concern is that in the event that the entire border was barriered in one way or another, that would present huge problems from species doing their normal migration routes or just from being able to move from the south to the north and vice versa.
If you were given the opportunity to talk with folks in the administration, folks who are thinking about environmental issues like that, are there certain questions you would ask to sort of be able to figure out whether they're thinking about these things, whether there are ways of going about considering wildlife species and whatnot?
Historically, there has been some consideration, but it's mostly been after the fact. In Texas, they put in small holes in the wall for cats to get through, ocelot, and that sort of thing. They don't really tend to use them as much as other species, and if they would have been maybe considered in advance of putting the wall up, we could have made some different accommodations that would have been probably better for ocelot specifically, or in the Arizona case for larger species. I mean, there's jaguar, bear, pronghorn, getting into Chihuahua, New Mexico border, there's buffalo or bison. And these are all species, large species, that need to move north and south. And even a small barrier can prevent, say, pronghorn from moving north and south. There's a lot of species that could very easily be accommodated. And if we could just forward think a little bit instead of just thinking, let's just put a wall, look at all the knowledge that we have about walls globally. I mean, walls have been put in border areas all over the world, and we've learned a lot, I think, from Europe and from other areas where we have seen which species can move through different types of structures. I mean, the distance between the bars and comparing that to the cranial distance between animals, you can see which species can actually get through or can get around or can get under or over, in many cases, and in washes, especially in Arizona. There's a unique opportunity for wildlife and for water to move through, because washes, when it rains, you know, a lot of water will run through and often blow out the fences. And those are the exact same areas that wildlife will often use.
So how could eliminating environmental regulations, how could that end up affecting what we're talking about?
Well, when you waive environmental regulations for putting a barrier wall in, you're waiving the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, Environmental Species Act. So by not allowing us to vet those issues, I think we're sort of shooting ourselves in the foot in terms of allowing us to put in a fence that may be just specifically for people and not accommodating for rainwater, just water moving generally, and also for species. It's something that if we thought about with a little bit of leeway, a little bit of lead time, we could probably easily accomplish both.
Does the talk of modifying a border fence concern you when it comes to wildlife? I mean, do you feel like, I really hope they're keeping these questions in mind, because if they don't, that could really wreck a number of things for at least a particular amount of time.
Well, I think it is a concern, but I think my biggest concern is trying to do it really fast. And there's really no need to rush something that's this important to our national security or to wildlife or however, whatever perspective you take on this. Mm-hmm. I think if we could do it at a pace and at a rate that allows us for some consideration of during the construction for wildlife, and we've begun developing a database called the Tanaha database together with Friends of the Sonoran Desert that is every bit of literature that we can possibly find on the U.S.-Mexican border in terms of what species are where, which ones use which types of fence, which ones are barriers, or which fences are barriers to which species. And we're beginning to put all that together now. So with that information, the hope is that we can provide the science to the decision makers who are then, you know, pushing for things like the border fence, and make sure that the contractors, when it comes time to building fences, if that's the way we're going to go, have that information, and the contractors are not just seeing this empty area devoid of any legal backbone for environment.
Jan Skipper is the Field Conservation Research Director for the Phoenix Zoo and Arizona Center for Nature Conservation.